This week, I finally got around to seeing Tombstone. I know, you saw it years ago. I'm behind. Well, I finally got to see it. And I enjoyed it. It's a good movie. A lot of good lines in there. There was one line that jumped out at me. It's close to the end. I'm not going to ruin the story for you. But close to the end, there's a pivotal moment in Wyatt Earp's thinking, in his life, really. Because he says, I spent my whole life not knowing what I want out of it, just chasing my tail. And at that moment, he decides to change things, and things change for him. You'll have to watch it to find out how. But listen to those words. I spent my whole life not knowing what I want out of it, just chasing my tail. You know, I think that's the way a lot of people live. I think I could fairly say most people live that way. Spend my whole life not knowing what I want out of life. Just chasing my tail. Just showing up for this assignment and for this appointment and whatever I've got coming up dictates to me what I have to get done. I'm driven by the tyranny of the urgent. You know, whatever I have to do is what I do. Instead of figuring out what I want out of this life and making my decisions, my choices, basing my actions and my thoughts on my priorities, on what I want out of this life. Well, because I think that it's so important for us to live intentionally instead of just letting life happen, I want us to spend the next few weeks together thinking about I life. And in this case, I stands for intentional. We're going to discover intentional living. We're going to look at 7 different aspects of intentional living for a believer. This morning, we're going to start this I Life series as we discover intentional living. We're going to start by thinking together about I Worship. I Worship, intentionally worship. Now, we've got to think about worship. Because worship doesn't just happen. And it can't be done for you. What that means is, just coming to church doesn't really accomplish the goal of worship. It's not something that happens automatically, and it can't be done for you. Worship is something that happens within you that you open yourself up to, that you prepare yourself for, that you cause. Worship happens when you cause something within you to acknowledge an almighty God. Worship is not music. Music is a form of worship. But don't confuse music and worship. Music is just the form. Worship takes place in the heart and the mind, not the vocal cords. When you just sing through the chorus and you open the hymnal and you sing through the song, it might just be singing. It might not be worship. If it's just singing, then acknowledge that and know it's just music. When it moves beyond just music and it's not from your vocal cords anymore and it comes from the heart, and you're thinking about it, it's coming from your mind, then you have begun real worship. It's not just something that happens on Sunday morning. Worship, intentional worship, can be a way of life. That's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 12. And that's where I want us to go this morning. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me, Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at the first 2 or 3 verses there. Worship is important enough for us to do it intentionally. Worship is worth the effort. The word worship comes from the same word that means worth. And so what we're doing when we worship is we're saying, God, you're worth it. You're worth my time. You're worth my energy and my focus and my attention. You're worth whatever sacrifice I can make. Worship is telling God that he's worth it. As we look into Scripture about worship, we find out that when God's people worship, he is present in a very real way. It says that he inhabits the praise of his people. When we worship together, God's presence is experienced among us. It also, Scripture also says that when God's people worship, it is like a sweet-smelling savor. How many of you have those little scentsy things? I mean, that is the thing right now, isn't it? Everybody's buying them and selling them, and they're all over the place. Little scentsy things. You put the wax in there, you plug it, you burn it. All right. The reason we do that is because we like stuff that smells good. God does too. And Scripture says that when God's people worship, it is a sweet smell to him. It pleases him. Why? Because God deserves our worship. Because God demands our worship. And because God desires our worship. He desires it. He deserves it. He demands it. Worship, then, must be intentional. We've got to do it on purpose because it won't happen any other way. We can go through the motions and we can come in on time. We can sit through a service and we can go eat at the restaurant afterwards and never have worshiped all day long. Or we can say, when I go to church today, I'm going to actually think about what I'm saying and feeling and experience, and I'm going to think about how great God is. I'm going to worship him in my heart. I'm going to experience his presence, and I'm going to let him know that I believe he is worth anything I could sacrifice. It's kind of a choice for us, really. We can either just kind of let life happen. We can just kind of let an hour go by. Or we can intentionally worship. Paul says that worship doesn't just happen here, however. That we can have that same intent, that same intentional worship throughout our lives. It can be a lifestyle. Romans chapter 12 at verse 1, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. As we read that scripture and learn how to intentionally worship, the first thing I want you to notice is that we worship through sacrificial living. We worship through sacrificial living. Usually when we hear the word sacrificial, it goes with the word giving. Sacrificial giving. And that is one act of worship, but it's only one. Intentional worship happens when we worship through sacrificial living. Did you know that worship happens outside of these walls more than it does within? Real worship happens at the place you work. Real worship happens in your living room. Real worship happens in your car, at the school. And by the way, nobody took God out of the schools. Nobody's bigger than God. They can't kick him out of anywhere. As long as students decide that they're going to be honest with God, that they're going to love God, that they're going to worship him within their hearts, God is there. and nobody's going to change that. We worship through sacrificial living. Every day. You see, so he says, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. To present your bodies, he's using a word that was used when folks would bring a sacrificial lamb, or they'd bring some other kind of sacrifice to the altar. They would present it to the altar, present it to God at the altar. That sacrifice was killed there to show that the person really was giving something of value. They were sacrificing something, and so the lamb was killed, or the turtle doves, or whatever it was killed there at the altar. They would present this sacrifice. Paul now says, you present a sacrifice, but your sacrifice is different. Your sacrifice is not going to be a dead animal. It's going to be your living self. You present yourself alive and well as a spiritual act of worship. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Of course, the problem with living sacrifices is they sometimes crawl off the altar. You ever crawl off the altar? One day we say, God, I'm yours. We sing, we are an offering. Take my hands, take my life, I'm yours. And then the next day, we crawl off that altar. We forget him. We neglect him. We kind of go back and do our thing, our way, our time. The problem with living sacrifices is they crawl off the altar. Paul says, make worship a part of your life. Every day, every hour, every moment, I am his. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his voice, not just on Sunday. It's our lives. So Paul says, sacrifice your life, a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 6, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Give him who you are all the time instead of giving yourself back to the old life. See, what happens is we compartmentalize our lives. In that way, we show how we've been influenced by Greek thought and culture. By the way, the Hebrew thought and culture considered unity. The body, the person, wasn't heart, mind, soul, spirit, body. The Hebrew mindset didn't think that way. You were one self. But it was Greek culture that separated us, compartmentalizes. And that's how we function now. We've been influenced by that. And that's not a bad thing, really. Just be aware of it. That's why you can go to work and you can say, okay, now for these next 8 hours, I am a plumber. And those 8 hours are up, and then you go home and you say, okay, now I am a husband and a father. The reason we can do that is because we compartmentalize our lives. And that can be a good thing, but it can also be a detriment if we're not careful. Because it's too easy for us to say, I'm a Christian Sunday morning at 10:15 to 11:30-ish. That's the compartment over there for God. As long as I give him his compartment, he ought to be happy. And then the rest of my life, I'm going to live over here in this square, this compartment that's very different from that. That happens to us naturally, and so we intentionally have to avoid that. We intentionally have to work through that. So Paul says, be a living sacrifice. Sacrifice your life. Give your life to Him. So it's no longer your plans. They're His plans. No longer your desires, but His desires. Not your dreams, but His. Not your efforts, but His. Not your thoughts, but His thoughts. Not your friends, but His friends. Not your possessions, but His possessions. Hold nothing back. Give Him who you are. You love Him with every fiber of your being. All that you have and all that you are has been given to Him completely. That's when we begin to intentionally worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. When you give your life to Christ, you become His. Worship Him then by sacrificially living for Him. Worship is not an activity that lasts for an hour. It's a way of life. It happens beyond these walls all day, every day, when we live sacrificially. A pig and a chicken are walking down the road. They see a poster that says, it talks about providing a breakfast for the poor in that area. And the chicken says, you know what, we ought to help that effort. That's a good effort. We ought to help these folks who are going to provide breakfast for the poor. The pig says, that sounds good. We ought to do something to help. Chicken says, well, I tell you what, why don't we provide, we'll donate eggs and ham for their breakfast. And the pig replied, not so fast. For you, it would just be a contribution. But for me, it would be total commitment. Do you give God an easy contribution once in a while? Or do you give Him total commitment? God, you are worthy of all that I am and all that I have. I worship you by living for you. We worship through sacrificial living. When we learn to intentionally worship, we also worship through separated living. Paul says, don't be conformed in verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what the will of God is. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. That word for conformed, as you know, you think about conformed, that means that there's some pressure on the outside that's going to shape me. Maybe it's a mold, or like we said Wednesday when we looked at it, maybe it's a kid's hands and he's got clay and he's going to mold it into a shape. To be conformed is pressure from the outside shaping me. He says, don't be conformed by the world's mold, by fitting into what the world says you're to be. Instead, you be transformed. That's something that happens with pressure from within. To be transformed starts inside and works out. Conformed is pressure outside working in. Don't let the world force you into its mold. Instead, let God transform you from within. Let Him do a work in your heart. Let Him change your thinking so that you can be transformed into the person He wants you to be. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life to change you into the likeness of Christ. When Jesus was spending His last night with His disciples, He said many things of great importance to them, and then He prayed. And in that prayer, He prayed for His followers, saying, they are not of this world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. He prayed for us. God, they don't fit here. Sanctify them. Set them aside. That's what sanctify means. set them aside, make them holy, make them different. That was Christ's prayer for us, that we would be different from the rest of the world. You are not of the world. Stop living like you are. Stop thinking like you're part of the world. Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God give you a new way of thinking. Let Him help you realize that you're someone different than you used to be, and you're someone different than who the world wants you to be. Let Him begin a work in your life to change you. As we begin to intentionally worship, we worship through sacrificial living, through separated living, and we worship through We worship through sanctified thinking. Sanctified thinking. Could have used that when I was doing these slides. You worship through sanctified thinking. He says not to be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sanctified thinking, changed, made holy. Life is all about choices. You know, we talk to our students about that on a regular basis. But that's not a lesson you stop learning. Adults are influenced by peer pressure. Adults are influenced by worldly way of thinking. We all have to be reminded that life is a series of choices and consequences to those choices. Right choices usually lead to good consequences. Bad choices usually lead to bad consequences. Life is made up of choices. Because of that, Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, be transformed. How? Let God change your thinking. Let Him change your thinking. Well, my mind is full of what the world has taught me. How do I change my thinking? One good place to start is here. We call this God's Word. What we mean is God is speaking to us here. That's why it's His Word. So how can I let Him change my thinking? I can learn how He thinks. I can be taught by Him how to think clearly about what this life is really all about. This is one way. Another way is just to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit who leads and changes and works in me to transform me into the likeness of Christ. We worship through sanctified thinking. You have the freedom of choice, but be ready to live with the consequences of those choices. Renewing your mind means thinking differently so you make different choices. A renewed mind thinks about new things. Look at verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. To think not of self all the time, but to think as one who has sound judgment. We become wise when we worship intentionally. Verse 3 tells us that. We become wise when we worship God intentionally. Why? Because He's changing us into His way of thinking. Think about how you serve Him, how you glorify Him, instead of how to fulfill your own desires or get what you want. The intentional life. Moving past just living into intentional living. The best place to begin that is by intentionally worshiping. He is worthy of our worship. The greatest way to worship is in everyday life, being real, letting Him make us even more real. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives as you have brought us to this point. We pray that you would help us now at this moment to determine once and for all that we are not going to just exist, but we really want to live. Lord, we pray that you'd help each of us to clear away whatever clutter would keep us from intentionally living. Help each one of us to renew our commitment to you, to crawl back on that altar, to sacrifice our lives for you. Father, help us to make sure that we are living for your glory and not our own. And if there are any decisions or commitments that we need to make this morning to ensure that we're right with you, we pray that you'd help us to do that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now we're going to sing together, "I Worship You, Almighty God," and then that goes into "How Great Thou Art," starting at 146. And as we sing together, if the Lord would call you to give your life to Christ, to really enter into a relationship with him, come. If he would call you to join our church, enter into missions or ministry, if he calls you to follow through on your commitment to him in baptism, if he calls you to make any kind of decision in a public way, come and let's pray about it. The altar is open as well. If you feel led to just come to the altar and say, "Lord, I'm yours," feel free to do that in your own way. Let's stand together and let's sing.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.